Good evening. It's good to be back with you all tonight. And it's been a blessed day. I've enjoyed being able to fellowship with you and to bring the Word of God. Let us turn to John chapter 14. John chapter 14. John chapter 14, beginning there in verse 1. Hear now the word of the living God. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you. For I go to prepare a place for you. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And you know the way where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going. How do we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. This is the word of the Lord. Let us pray. Most gracious and mighty God, we thank you once again for this opportunity that we have to gather together and to hear your word. And Lord, we ask that you would open our eyes that we might behold wondrous things from your word. Open our ears that we might hear what the Spirit would say to us. Apply our hearts to wisdom and apply your word to our lives that we might be diligent to serve and glorify you. We ask that you would bless us now as we sit under the preaching of your word. Anoint me with your Spirit as I proclaim your word. Anoint your people that we might hear and receive it. For we pray in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. We live in a world filled with trouble, with despair, and with heartache. Everywhere we turn, we see misery and anguish. We see brokenness in families. We see uncertainty in life. We see the stress of the change in jobs or in our economy. And there are many things in life that oftentimes can discourage us. There are things in the life of the church that can certainly discourage us. But as we come to our passage here in John 14, Jesus has just given that distressing news to his disciples that he will leave them, that he will be going away from them shortly. And for them to hear that news, they had walked with Christ. They had sweet fellowship and communion with their Savior. But now he was going to leave. And that created great turmoil for the disciples. Jesus promised that he would never leave them, but that he would be with them. But here in this passage, Jesus gives us an antidote for troubled hearts. And as we consider this passage this evening, let us see that antidote that Christ gives for us in times of trouble that invade our lives. The first antidote that we find here in this passage is to trust in God. Jesus told his disciples, "Do not let your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me." There are times in every one of our lives, there are times and seasons when we will face adversity. There are times when we will face trial and tribulation. One thing that we all have in common is that we cannot escape trouble and trials. It will come to us. But here, Jesus says when those times of adversity come, the way to alleviate that is to trust in God. Now that might seem like a simple thing, trust in God. But here Jesus tells us this is the best antidote for the believer. When we are overwhelmed with sorrow, or when we sense the load of trials weighing upon us and weighing upon our soul, we as God's children have the best remedy. We have the only remedy when facing times of trial. When the storms come, when the trials come, our faith, our trust in Christ is our hope. In times of trial and tribulation, all the storms of life, faith knows where and how to cast that anchor. Jesus said, "Let not your hearts be troubled." True disciples of Christ have the only remedy when times of trouble, when times of difficulty come. Jesus stated over in chapter 12, verse 27, he uses this similar word, trouble, when he says, "My soul has become troubled." In verse 13 and verse 21, Jesus said that, it says here that when Jesus had said this, he became troubled in spirit and testified and said, "Truly, I say to you that one of you will betray me." There are certainly times when we will face trouble and difficulty. But when those times come, we should cast our anchor deep. We should trust in Christ, who is our hope, who is our comfort, and who is our peace. The evil one will always come to rob us of our joy. He will come to rob us of our peace. But when we trust in God, we stand against him. We who believe in God, we who believe in Christ, will stand and we will be fortified in that day of trial and difficulty. So Jesus was not unaware that we would face trouble. In fact, he says, "Don't let your heart be troubled. When good news or bad news comes, cast your gaze upon the Lord." What things trouble you in your life? Oftentimes, adversity and trial come, and we can easily be discouraged. Pastors can easily be discouraged. And yet, Paul reminds us in Galatians that we are not to be weary in well-doing, for we shall reap if we do not faint. And so for us as believers, when the times of trial and difficulty come, to trust in God means that we find our peace and our comfort and our consolation in Him. Today we see so many people that become discouraged and lose heart. And oftentimes, even in the church, people can be discouraged and can feel like they want to give up. Jesus said, "Don't let your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Trust in me." To put that trust and that confidence in Christ means that He alone is our refuge and safety. There in Psalm 23, David says, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul." And so to trust in God is to rest in Him, to find our peace and our comfort in Him. The picture that David gives there of the shepherd is that he causes us to lie down in green pastures. There's the picture of rest. that when everything around me seems to be falling apart, when I feel like I'm going to fall apart, I need to look to my shepherd who provides rest and comfort for my soul. And so when the trials come, our comfort and our peace is to be found only in Christ. But there's a second antidote that Jesus gives us here in this passage. And that is the promise of a future home. There in verse 2, he tells his disciples that in my Father's house are many dwelling places. And if it were not so, I would have told you. For I leave you, I go away, so that I can prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. I work part-time in a funeral home. I don't know how many times I've heard this verse quoted at a funeral. And many times it's been quoted at the funeral of a non-believer or someone who did not know the Lord. But here when Jesus speaks about in my Father's house are many dwelling places, he's not telling us that God is going to build some great mansion where we're just going to kind of sit off by ourselves. But he's speaking about that promise of a future home in heaven with him and with the saints of all the ages. And so we oftentimes just kind of read this passage in a very careless manner. And yet for the believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, those are not just familiar words that we hear, but they're words that remind us that when the trials of life come, our gaze, our hope, is to be set on heaven. We are pilgrims, as the Scripture says, traveling through this world. This world is not our home. We're here only for a short time. And when you look over your life, 20, 30, 40 years goes by and you think, where did it go? I'm glad that those years come and go quickly, because it means that we have that promise of a future home, that day when all of our trials, when Christ will take away every tear from our eyes. And so the promise for us as true believers is that there's a sure promise to those who believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, that He goes and He is even now preparing a place for us, that He might receive us to Himself. Promise of heaven is something that we long for. The Scriptures speak of heaven as much as they speak of the reality of hell. Heaven is that place that Jesus is preparing for us. And here as He speaks about that promise of a future home, Jesus says, I will come again and receive you to myself. And so Jesus speaks of the promise of His second advent, His second coming again. We long for that day. But Jesus here reminds us that He will come again and receive us to Himself. Years ago, when I went to Nova Scotia, Canada, where I pastored for 6 years, there was a man who had left that congregation who had come to the conclusion that there was no return of Christ. In fact, if he had still been a member when I came as the pastor, we would have had a discipline issue, because he had come to believe that Christ has already returned, that Christ returned in 70 A.D. And I asked him one time, I said, well, what hope do you have if Christ is not coming back? What happens? Well, the generations just come and go, and we go on and live forever. And I'm thinking to myself, this doesn't make sense. I said, well, where is the sting of death that Paul talks about in 1 Corinthians 15? Where is the hope of the believer? He says, our hope is now. I says, well, I don't put much hope in this world. There's nothing for us to hope in. And so this guy was completely deluded into thinking that Christ had returned in 70 AD. There was no second advent. There was no resurrection of the believer. And I'm thinking, well, then Christ hasn't raised from the dead. Because what this news of Christ coming again does for us, it gives us hope of two things. That we will not live in this world forever. This world is fallen. Christ reminds us that we live in a fallen world. We live in a world that is cursed because of sin. But it reminds us not only of the fact that we will not live in this home forever, but His coming again reminds us that there will be a future resurrection of all believers. That Christ will come again and He will raise our mortal bodies from the grave, and we will stand before Him on that final day. The beautiful picture that the Scripture gives us is that future home that Christ even now is creating, a new heaven and a new earth. There at the end of the Revelation of the Apostle John, as John describes the picture of what will take place in the church age when the church will be persecuted by the false prophets, by the Antichrist, by Satan himself, and the church will see the glorious reign of Christ as He comes before the end of the age. And at the end of the age, Christ comes, and there in Revelation chapter 21 says, I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth passed away, and there was no longer any sea. And then in verse 5 and 6, John says, He who sits on the throne said, Behold, I am making all things new. He said to John, Write these words, for they are faithful and true. And he said to me, It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give to the one who thirsts from the spring of water of life without cost. The blessed hope of every believer is that we will be raised on that final day when Christ will return in glory, as the ancient creed says, to judge both the living and the dead. And so Jesus gives His disciples hope that one day He will return again to receive them to Himself. We do not know the day or the hour when Christ will return. We are not to be living in this world with a pessimistic view, as many premillennialists do, that the world is going to hell in a handbasket and that we should fret and worry. We're not to do that. Jesus said, don't let your heart be troubled, but remember that I'm coming again to receive you. So when the believer faces trial and tribulation in life, we are to think of that future reward, that future promise that is waiting for us. Johnny Erickson Tata, many years ago when I heard her speak, was a quadriplegic and she has no use of her body from the neck down, and she writes with her mouth. And she says, when this body ages and gives me more difficulty and I face more pain and I become discouraged, she says, I think of heaven. I think of that day when I will be with Christ and my body will be completely made new. I heard that and that just gave me chills. I just thought, what a blessing. Now here this woman is trapped in a body that, according to the world, is useless. What contribution does she give to the world? And I thought, she is not discouraged. Her heart is not troubled. Her heart is fixed on that promise of a future home. But Jesus here gives us a final antidote by telling us that He provides a sure way to heaven. Working in a funeral home, it's so common to see that suddenly when people die, they all want to go to heaven. Everybody's going to heaven, right? But here Jesus says that in order to go to that place He has prepared for us, that He is the one, verses 5 and 6, who will give us that sure way to heaven. Jesus said to His disciples, "You know the way where I am going." Thomas said, "Lord, we don't know where You are going. So if we don't know where You're going, how do we know the way?" Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father but through Me." Here is the certainty of that future home in heaven. Then in order to enter that home, Jesus must provide that sure way in order for us to get there. At the end of the revelation of the Apostle John, he describes heaven as a place where there are no wicked, where those wicked and evil doers are placed outside, and only those who have been washed in the blood of the Lamb can certainly enter there. Jesus, as the way, provides the entrance into heaven. He is the door, as He says in John chapter 10. He is the road. He opens again the way to paradise. The entrance to that garden was closed when our first parents fell in sin. And as God closed that garden paradise, He granted no more access to that garden. But when Christ came again, He opened the way to paradise. He said on the cross, "It is finished." And so He opened again the way to paradise. He provides access through His blood. But when He says, "I am the truth," He says that He reveals to us God, the knowledge of who He is. Many people think that they can approach God through their own way. Perhaps they can approach God through their good works. But the only way to approach God is to have His Son reveal Him to us. Man in his fallen nature cannot know God. And so Christ had to reveal Himself that He is the life, for He provides peace. He provides joy. He provides that eternal life that we so desperately need. Jesus is the only way to heaven. Jesus is indeed preparing a place for those of us who are united to Him and who trust in His great mercy. There in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, chapter 5. The Apostle Paul writes these words of encouragement and exhortation to us when he says this. He says there in 1 Thessalonians that the day of the Lord will come. And I'm using a different Bible this evening and I did not mark it, so I've lost my reference. But there in 1 Thessalonians, Paul tells us to encourage one another with the hope that Christ is returning again. And he says, encourage one another all the more as you see the day of Christ's return approach. There in chapter 4, for the Lord Himself, verse 16, will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain will be caught up together with Him in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will always be with Him. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. The return of the Lord Jesus Christ is to be something that we comfort one another with. That in our trials and in the times of great trouble, we too are to encourage one another with that news that Christ Jesus will return again. And so for the believer in times of difficulty and trial, we must remember that the sorrows of life will only last for a season. That life is but a vapor, and soon it will vanish away. So time is short. We will not suffer long. Even though life is full of trouble and sorrow, we realize that we have a Savior who will receive us, who will bring us to heaven. Thomas Watson says this, beautiful words from that great Puritan writer. In that paradise of God, a Christian shall have more than he ever can imagine or think. He can imagine, what if every mountain were a pearl, every flower a ruby, every sand in the sea a diamond, the whole globe a shining gem, but all his thoughts are too low to reach the glory of the celestial pyramids. The heavenly reward exceeds faith. And as the time is short, a Christian will be in heaven before he is aware. Then he shall bathe his soul in those perfumed pleasures of paradise which run at God's right hand forevermore. When we think about trials, when we think about trouble in this world, heaven should always give us hope that we will not live in a fallen world forever. That every trial, that every difficulty we face will only last for a season. But in those seasons, when we're faced with difficulty, I think we should focus our minds upon Christ. Focus upon heaven. Because I think we're often deluded into thinking that for the Christian, there should be no trial. There should be no suffering or difficulty. But yet it's through suffering that we enter the kingdom of God. And yet Christ reminds us that He will give hope and encouragement to us in those times of great difficulty. And so I would encourage you this evening to look for the antidote to all of your troubles. Don't look for the antidote in doctors or in psychologists or in all the things that the world tells us will be the solution. Look to our shepherd. Look to our Savior who gives us hope, who gives us peace, and gives us the promise of a better world, of a world that is to come, where Christ will receive all of His saints. This evening, if you do not know Christ, you have no future. You have no hope apart from Him. And I would urge you this evening to look to the Lord Jesus Christ, to call upon Him, for He is the way, the truth, the life. Saints of God, let us encourage one another all the more as we see the day of the Lord's return approach. For that will be a glorious day, and we will no longer remember the troubles and the trials of this life. Let us pray. Lord Jesus Christ, we thank You that You are our shepherd, that You are the one who has promised rest for our souls. And we pray that You would give us the antidote, that we might trust in You, that we might find You to be our peace and our rest, that we might find our comfort and our hope in You. Lord, we pray that You would not allow our hearts to be troubled by the things of this life, by the difficulties that come, but help us to look to You in faith, knowing that You will one day take us to that place that You have prepared for us. Help us to encourage and build one another up with that glorious news. Christ Jesus will return again to receive us to Himself. And we pray this in Your holy and glorious name. Amen.